Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate 670 The Score. NFL Week 4. Paulie Pabst, your boy, is in the city. In the studios with Sean Sears. We're going to have a good day today. You got your Cubs swag on, Sean. You're looking good. It's an unbelievable weekend in the city. Got here yesterday. It was like 74 degrees when I landed. I'm wearing t-shirts. I almost put on shorts.
It's nice out, right?
It's lovely. It feels like mid-June. It's a fantastic time to be here. All right, this is the tailgate. NFL Week 4, a serious college football slate later today. We are live from the Score studios. Summer temps. I'm going to the Cubs game later today. Cubs-Cardinals. I completely dislike the Cardinals, just as I should. I grew up that way. One aside here, again, I'm from the South Side. I grew up a Cubs fan because of my grandmother and my uncles and all that stuff. But I never disliked the Sox. People are like, how can you not dislike the Sox? I'm like, the Sox aren't the Cubs' problem. The Cardinals are the Cubs' problem. I always dislike the Cardinals. Tomorrow, Sunday, fun day, going to go watch some football at a pub. That's about as good as a Chicago weekend as you can get. Coming up in 20 minutes on this show, this is great. Bears middle linebacker Noah Sewell. Really great up-and-coming player. He had 11 tackles against the Cowboys. Big show ahead. We're going to get you ready for the college football weekend. We got some picks later today, the morale meter, all that will be coming up. And a big day on The Score today, 9 to 11, inside the clubhouse with David and Bruce Levine, presented by Budweiser. This Bud's for you. And at 11, a special edition of Spiegel and Holmes live from Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Those lucky guys. Continue to preview Bears, Raiders leading into Cubs pregame at 12:45. That's all on The Score and the Odyssey app. But it's been a great week in Chicago for multiple reasons. I mean, the Bears game on Sunday or Monday, whenever they play, kind of sets the tone for Bears fans and sports fans for the week. And also the weather as well. And it's been a great weather week. But beating Dallas soundly, and that was a national TV game. Tom Brady had that game. And when you get done watching that game, your mood is just completely different. My mood was completely different. We talked about it last week. Sean and I, we talked about it, how my daughter came and checked on me during the Lions game because I was just apoplectic, whatever word you want to use. I just sitting there miserable, you know? You've been there.
Definitely, right? The Bears do that very often to us, right?
And unlike a Cub game or a Sox game or whoever you root for, there's not a game the next day. When the Cubs lose 5-1, they're probably playing the next day. But beating Dallas, which to me is the team, I know you want to beat the Packers. That's a given. But you throw away the Packers and the NFC North. To me, growing up, the team, the Bears, I wanted to beat was Dallas. Those pretty boys down there, America's team, I always disliked them. And if you notice something, and I work on a national show, the Dan Patrick Show. So I work both here at The Score and at the Dan Patrick Show. The national coverage around the Bears changed rapidly over the past 7 days. A lot of national sports media people are backpedaling after the dominant win versus Dallas. We don't exactly do that at the tailgate. We're going to talk about the win against Dallas. It was a great win. But we don't get too high or too low. Too low is the key. Like, after weeks 1 and 2, there are people in the national media that are declaring the Ben Johnson era to be a failure. don't know how you do that in week one or two. They were declaring Caleb Williams to be the next Johnny Manziel. I mean, and then he wins NFC Player of the Week, right? Offensive Player of the Week. You know, when you declare someone a bust in week one or two, what do you do with that in week three, four, and five when that team gets good again? So a lot of people in the national media are backpedaling. Don't let them forget, because they're going to slobber over Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson when they're good, and they're going to call them out when they're bad. We got a lot to get to, but let's go back to the Bears. Actually, let's go to the Raiders game. The Bears' next game at the Raiders, 3:25 p.m. on CBS. It's a pick'em game right now with the odds. Both teams are 1-2. Raiders beat the Patriots, and they got handled by the Chargers and the Commanders. New coach in Pete Carroll, who's not a new coach. He's an old school coach, and you got to trust him a lot. New quarterback in Geno Smith. A lot of talent on the roster, but they haven't put it together yet. I think for the Bears, this is a very winnable road game. I think you got a little momentum after last week. It's not a pushover, but for the Raiders, they took Ashton Jeanty in the draft. Really top running back out of Boise State. He has not put it together yet. They haven't broken him out yet or anything like that. But for the Bears, a win over Vegas puts the Bears in shape for going into a bye week at 2-2. Now you think to yourself, oh, who aspires to be 2-2? If I told you after the Lions game you'd be 2-2 going to the bye week, you'd sign up for it, right? I mean, Sean, you would sign that in a second.
Yeah, take it in a heartbeat,
It in a heartbeat. I think everyone would sign up for that. So we're not there yet. We're not 2-2 going into the bye week yet, but it seems very possible, reachable, and it's the kind of thing you want. But let's get to the Bears' last game. 31-14 over the Cowboys. It was going to be the battle of bad defenses. I think that I both thought this game was going to be in the 40s. So a couple things happened early in the game, and weeks 1 and 2 for the Bears, they didn't get any breaks. All the breaks went to the other teams. And I don't believe in luck or karma or things like that, but once in a while in a game, you get an early break and it sets the tone for the rest of the game. The Tyrique Stevenson strip fumble, whatever you want to call it, punch out of the Cowboys running back Javonte Williams, to me was a gigantic play, clearly. Dallas was flying down the field. They were running the ball down the field. The Bears couldn't stop them at all. The Dallas defense's offense is good. The Bears not so good yet. And Tyrique Stevenson, you talk about a player who needed a big play in his career in this town. He is still trying to get the stink of the Washington Commanders game off him from almost a year ago, right? But he got that ball to strip. He kept his feet in. I mean, I was shocked. People were shocked that he had the ball. And that turned what looked like to be a Dallas touchdown drive into a Bears touchdown drive. Then moments later, the CeeDee Lamb injury, star wide receiver for the Cowboys. He goes down. They run him weirdly. I don't know why they're running a star wide receiver. Now I know the Bears do that with DJ Moore, so don't want to be a hypocrite. Caught myself. But CeeDee Lamb, he's not known as a runner. DJ Moore is a little more stocky, a little bit more built for running the ball. But he gets injured, hurts himself, and his ankle. That cooled off the Dallas offense just enough where they couldn't fly down the field all day on the Bears. Then let's get to the flea flicker. The Bears hand the ball. Williams hands it to Swift. Swift gets kind of caught up in the wash, and he threw it over his back. It looked like he kind of chucked it over his shoulder back to Caleb Williams. And in my chair at home, I'm going, oh, no. I thought it was going to go over Caleb's head, or Caleb would not be collected, or someone's going to crack him. But luckily for us, Sean, and everyone listening, the Dallas defense is so bad they couldn't even defend a flea flicker that was going wrong. And when Burden caught that ball, I jumped up and said, I can't believe that play worked. I didn't think the handoff was going to work. I didn't think the throw was going to work. And I thought Burden would drop it or something, because as a Bears fan, these plays usually go against the Bears. Either a team does it against the Bears, or the Bears try it and it goes haywire. It worked. And that's what happened that day. All the breaks in the first half went well. Then as the game played out, Odunze gets a TD, Kmet gets a TD, DJ Moore gets a TD, 4 touchdowns for Caleb, and we're all going to Wiener Circle on Tuesday. By the way, I live about 6 blocks from Wiener Circle. Wiener Circle is a very different place at 2 p.m. compared to 2 a.m. For those who know, at 2 p.m., it's a nice place to grab a pull of sausage and a little something to drink and maybe some fries and outside. At 2 a.m., it's a great place to get punched in the face. I mean, it can get really wild there,
by
too.
By people who work there, too, maybe.
Yeah. But, you know, the people who work there, you know what you're going to get if you go to a Wiener Circle at 2 a.m.
Nah, they're the best. It's a great experience,
It's an experience. If you're not sure what you're going to get there, if you go in blind, if you've never been to Wiener Circle before, you go there, you may hear some things you've never heard before, depending what areas of the country you're from. But let's get back to it. You're listening to The Score, 670 The Score, the tailgate. Paul Papps here with Sean Sears. The Bears' defense against the Cowboys, not great. I don't want to sugarcoat it. Not great against the pass, really not great against the run. But they had enough stops, enough big plays, a couple interceptions in the fourth quarter that they took the Cowboys' chances to make it a track meet out of it. And I think the run defense is going to be a bit of the issue going forward. A power back like Javonte Williams, that was tough. But then let's get to the third quarter briefly. Bears have a lead. I think it was 24-14. And the second half in weeks one and two were just brutal for the Bears. I mean, you remember that game against the Lions. The Lions just track meeted all day in the third quarter. The Bears had a 19-play, 10-minute drive, and it looked like something from Army football. It took all day. I mean, the Bears' defense was sitting on the sidelines for 31 real minutes. 31 minutes of lifetime. And I remember sitting there going, this is like a drug, man, watching this offense just go down the field and control the ball, control the game. That's not something we're used to. So it was a total cleanup of weeks one and two. It was a great outing against a bad team, mostly a bad defense, not necessarily a bad team. But again, beating Dallas feels fantastic. To me, it's like a win and a half. Like those NFC North wins are a win and a half. Getting up on Monday felt great. It's the opposite of the loss to the Lions. And when the Lions game, it felt hopeless. I mean, Sean, remember last week we were using the word hopeless?
Yeah, I mean, I had to be here to cut the highlights for that game. I'm texting our brand manager, Ryan Porth, being like, do we need the second half?
Yeah, can we skip the second half?
We just need line touchdowns? Is that all you want? I mean, geez.
Can we just drop the audio of that, pretend it got lost in the server?
Oh,
radio talk.
Gosh.
But it's the opposite. You get up Monday and a big win for Dallas and like clean up. You get a win against the Raiders, and then you got a more of a cleanup. But it was a really fun week. It was great to see Ben Johnson getting up in front of the podium after a win. So here's a little bit of Ben Johnson, Bears coach, talk about him and Caleb Williams.
I mean, the more time we spend together, particularly in one-on-one settings, I think that's the one thing that I've learned over the years is when you get sit down between two guys, that's where the guard comes down a little bit and you can really speak the truth how you see it. And you're not worried about egos. You're not worried about feelings. You're not worried about your personal pride because you got other people in the room that are observing. And so, I think he and I have had a number of one-on-ones. We sit down and I get to know him. He gets to know me, how I work, how he works. And we're just in the beginning of this, too. I think that's the best part of it is that I feel so strongly about him as a player and the direction he's heading that we're just going to continue to get better. We're going to grow together.
Yeah, and they really are tied together. It's certain coaches and players are tied together, like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, the quarterback with the Commanders. They're kind of tied together because they're drafted close to each other. If this works out for Ben Johnson, that means it has to work out for Caleb Williams and vice versa. You know, if somehow, and I don't believe it's going to happen, the Caleb Williams experiment in Chicago goes rapidly south, and I don't think that's going to happen, Ben Johnson's career is going to go rapidly south. He was brought in to take this gem and make it into a top five quarterback. That's it. That's what he's here for. Of course, to win ball games, but to take a quarterback and make him into, close to Patrick Mahomes, close to Justin Herbert, or maybe equal to these guys. And I say that because growing up in Chicago, having a great quarterback has never happened. I'm talking a great where you say, he's one of the top three quarterbacks in the sport. Believe me, I love Jim McMahon. I would give Jim McMahon a ride to the airport right now. That's how much I love Jim McMahon. Jay Cutler had a couple of good years. At no point in my life have the Bears had a top five quarterback. And that's what's necessary to win in this game. If you look at the Chargers right now, Justin Herbert's playing out of his mind. And the Chargers seem like a threat for the Super Bowl. It's been a fun week. The NFC North is kind of interesting. The Vikings roll the Bengals with Carson Wentz. Yeah, that guy's still around. One of the weirdest careers ever. There was a point in where he was first team all pro his second year in the league. And then his career kind of went south and kind of lost it in Philly and Nick Foles took over. But the Vikings look really tough. I've told you I like their coach Kevin O'Connell a lot. They could win with whatever quarterback you put out there. The loss by the Packers to the Cleveland Browns was nuts. I have a number of TVs at my house. It's kind of I'm a maniac with my TVs downstairs. And I put the Packers-Browns game on one of them. Like, this game's not even TV worthy. But I kept looking, like, the Browns aren't going away. The Packers are going to regret that game. I don't, feel anything for the Packers. But Jordan Love, every time you want to buy into him and all buy into him, he had an awful interception to Grant Delpit to the Browns later in the game.
Brutal.
Brutal. He could have thrown that anywhere but to Delpit, and they win that game. He could have thrown it. Could have taken a safety.
Oh, my gosh, right? Literally, a safety would have been better in that situation.
Would have been better. And so you watch in 6 or 7 weeks when the Packers are on the cusp of the playoffs or not maybe in the playoffs, you go back and look at that game. And then the Lions handle the Ravens on Monday Night Football. The Lions look like a Goliath. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's good. Look, I like to have hope for the Bears, but if you think you're catching the Lions this year in the NFC North, I would say that's a big no.
Yeah, protect your kneecaps, folks.
Yeah, enjoy the wild card. Get a wild card victory. You know, get in the wild card, but that's about it. All right, a lot coming up on the score today. Pro Football Talk on the Score presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much. You can't, Sean. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Quick recap of last week. Talked about Packers-Browns. A couple games that stood out last week. Vikings beat the Bengals again with Carson Wentz, 48-10. That Bengal team, it might be another lost year. Joe Burrow's not going to be back for 3 months. Jake Browning, the quarterback, not doing it. Do they make a trade or try to get Russell Wilson, who's been benched? I don't know, but they got to put something together. Steelers 21-14 over the Patriots. Steelers look okay, 2-1. A big miss for the Rams. Rams are up like 26-10 at one point, and they lost 33-26 to the Eagles. They're going to regret that one. Rams still a good team. Buccaneers 29-27. They came back to beat the Jets. I don't know how the Jets stayed in that game. Baker Mayfield, keep an eye on him. I think I said a month ago he was my pick for NFL MVP. He's a good story. He doesn't look the part. He's kind of this thick 6'1 dude who looks like a bro you'd hang out at your frat house. But he's awesome, and he's got a lot of swag. And when he gets the ball in the fourth quarter, I completely trust Baker Mayfield. Fun player. Another weird game last week, Panthers-Falcons. Panthers annihilated the Falcons. I thought that was a typo. I thought, Sean, I saw it on the screen. It's like, well, they clearly don't have the score ready.
Yeah, obviously right the other way, right?
Yeah, someone in graphics is losing their job. The Falcons 1-2, and Michael Penix got benched, but I think it was a temporary benching for Kirk Cousins. Texans are 0-3. That team two years ago.
CJ looks so bad right now. It's confusing.
CJ Stroud was the flavor of the month 2 years ago and was going to be the next great NFL quarterback. I still think he's awesome. I think their offensive line is an embarrassment. Chargers 23-20 over the Broncos. Chargers look fantastic. I think the Broncos are going to be fine. Seahawks had a couple wins this week. Seahawks 44-13 with the Saints, and Seahawks won the other night. They look really good. No one's talking about them. Sam Darnold is not a star. Doesn't get a lot of coverage. Seattle's way out west. Really nice team. 49ers with Mac Jones, 16-15 over the Cardinals last week. 49ers look pretty good considering all the injuries, and they'll have Brock Purdy back. Then Chiefs beat the Giants. That was ugly. Russell Wilson is benched. This week, nice slate of games before we break. The Vikings versus the Steelers in Ireland.
That's interesting.
It's fun. I kind of get blindsided by those early games. I'm sure you do in Chicago. Just check yourself. Make sure you don't tune in. I think it's, 8:30 local time?
It's a tough one, yeah.
It's a tough one if you get banged up the night before. But if anyone's ever been to Ireland, it's a fantastic place. Great food, great seafood. Go to Dublin, go to Galway. It's an overnight flight from Chicago. Great place. A couple other games this week that are interesting. Chargers versus the Giants. Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, really great quarterback. He's a rookie. It's weird that the Giants would start him against a really good Chargers defense. And I know you're trying to fill the stands at Giants Stadium, but Jackson Dart getting his first career start against a top five defense. I guess there's some upside there, but it's also a recipe for disaster. I would have waited a week, let Russ get roughed up by the Chargers, and then put Jackson Dart against the Saints, a bad team. Also a crowd that loves him because he went to Ole Miss. That's why I should be in charge of the Giants. Eagles-Buccaneers later today. Colts-Rams later today. The Colts are very interesting. Daniel Jones is having a very good month. He was on the Manning cast the other day. And if you're on the Manning cast on ESPN, that means you're having a good year. Daniel Jones, I mean, I don't know if he's probably going to be NFL Player of the Month. Good story.
Yeah. Indiana Jones, come on.
Indiana Jones, it writes itself. And really fun player. A lot of fun to watch him play. Packers-Cowboys, it's the night game. Cowboys are brutal. Packers got to get this one. Jets at Dolphins on Monday night. And then you also have Bengals at Broncos on Monday night. So that's a lot of football. So coming up, we're going to get you a big slate of college football. It's huge. We're going to run through it all. We got the morale meter, my Bears game prediction, and this is going to be a special one. We'll be joined by Chicago Bears middle linebacker Noah Sewell. Great young player. That's next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on 670 The Score in studio, Paul Pabst, your host for the next 45 minutes. Coming up in a few minutes, Noah Sewell, Bears middle linebacker. I'm telling you, this kid's going to be something. I'm not just saying it because he agreed to come on my show, but let's get to it. Big day ahead, going to Wrigley today. I'm going to get there nice and early, get a spot at Murphy's in the back, get set up, come by and say hi. I'll probably buy you a beer, especially if I had a couple Polish sausage and a couple pints myself. It's going to be a great day, 77 degrees or something like that at first pitch. Take down the Cardinals, get home field against the Padres. I'm a Cub fan from way back, and if you remember the Padres in the 80s, what happened to the Cubs and the Padres, it's time for a little bit of payback. Before your time, Sean, well before your time, but if you're an old school Cubs fan, I love Tony Gwynn. I love me some Tony Gwynn, but the Padres ripped my heart out. By the way, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but the 84 Cubs, I think it was the same day Walter Payton broke the rushing record, one of the great days in Chicago sports history, the Cubs lost that game against the Padres to be bounced from the playoffs. So one of the all-time great and bad days in Chicago history. All right, let's get to it. College football. Last week, LSU, Miami, Oregon, Florida State, Texas, they're all rolling. Indiana just annihilated Illinois. I was so looking forward to that game. Illini fans were looking forward to this. You're in the top 10. You take down a good Indiana team. You're right there. You're poised. A couple weeks from now, you get Ohio State, and Indiana got just boat raced Illinois. It was non-competitive game, and it was shocking to watch. I thought that would be an Illinois win or a close loss at the worst. Illinois flew a little too close to the sun, and they got burned. I believe me, I was rooting for them. Their uniforms look great. I like Brett Bielema. I think they still have a very good program, and that was one of those rough days that you wish you could just erase. Keep an eye out there on quarterback Fernando Mendoza for IU. Fernando Mendoza, big kid, used to go to Cal, ripping it up for Indiana. If they go on a run, he could be a Heisman candidate, but really watch him in the draft. I see him as a top 15 draft pick right now, and he's just really a nice player. So last week, Oklahoma took down Auburn, Michigan over Nebraska. Ole Miss rolled Tulane, and Notre Dame rolled Purdue to get back on track. The college football slate today is wacky. It's fantastic. So obviously, you're going to watch the Cubs. Watch a lot of college football today. USC at Illinois. Illinois has got to fix this and take down USC, and they're kind of a weird team. Notre Dame at Arkansas. Do not sleep on this. Arkansas had two losses at their own hand this season already. Arkansas could be undefeated. They've been their own worst enemy. Notre Dame has to win this game. They have to win all their games, but they have to win this or their season for the playoffs. I don't like the word over because the committee loves Notre Dame, but it's in the jam. Ohio State at Washington. Check that one out as well. Washington does not lose a lot of ball games at home. The line is getting tighter by the minute. The people who make the spreads love Washington. LSU versus Ole Miss, a great one later today. Auburn versus A&M. Tennessee versus Michigan State. Mississippi State. Oregon at Penn State today. Alabama at Georgia. And of course, Indiana, we mentioned, is at Iowa. Great day of sports, great day of baseball, great day of college football, all right here on The Score. But joining us now on the tailgate, this is going to be cool. He had 11 tackles in a win over Dallas at Soldier Field last Sunday. Chicago Bears, middle linebacker, number 44, Noah Sewell. Noah, it's great to have you on the show. Now, I was told that right before you joined the show, you were up on the bench getting a lift in. I think that's correct. You know, I just want to let you know, I got a lift in before the show. I was throwing up like 135, eight reps, no big deal. I can tell you're impressed.
No, yeah, that's pretty impressive. I don't think I can do that right now.
Okay, now let's be serious, though. You're about 6'1", about 240.
Yeah.
At your best, at your peak, what was your one rep max on the bench?
I think 380.
Oh, that's pretty good. I could do that never. I think my one rep max would be like 165. All right, let's get to it. Let's have some fun.
when you have a win like you did against Dallas and you go into the film room with your defensive teammates, how much fun is it to watch film and chop it up?
Nah, it's really a great feeling. I mean, all the hard work and time that we put into this and finally come out the game with a dub, it really feels good. You know, coming into the facility, it's a little brighter inside. You know, everybody's smiling, everybody's laughing, everybody's joking around.
So early in the game, the play with the punch out by Javonte Williams running the ball down the sidelines, and Tyreek Stevenson runs up and does like a punch out strip in one motion. Where were you on the field, and did you even realize he got the ball?
I was actually behind him, and then right when I seen it happen, I'm like, whoa, ooh, that was a great ass, excuse my language, but that was a great ass play. I'm like, he didn't see him, Williams didn't see Tyreek come from behind, and I just felt like it was just a perfect timing on his part to really punch and take away the ball.
As a middle linebacker, it seems like the punch-out strip play has really peaked in the past few years. We know it started years ago with Peanut Tillman with the Bears, but how much of a risk is it for a defensive player, and how do you time it, whether I'm going to do the punch-out strip or just go for a standard tackle?
It depends on the angle that you're approaching the ball carrier. I mean, if you feel like you're in a good position to really still get a shoulder pad on him,
yeah,
and still make the tackle, I mean, you can take a shot at the ball while still making sure that you get the tackle.
Yeah, it's a bit of a risk-reward, but it's a great play. Yeah. Later in the game, I think it was the third quarter, your offense went on about a 10-minute drive. But in real time, that's like 30 minutes you're on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Now, you obviously as a defensive player want to rest, but is there any point where you're like, I got to keep loose here. I got to get some fluids or do something to stay loose because we've been off for a while.
Most definitely. I mean, there's a bike right behind our bench. Once we see our offense do their things and keep moving the ball down the field, I mean, anything can happen. So that I'm on that bike trying to stay warm just to be ready whenever.
Have you ever misplaced your helmet when you're getting ready to run back in a game, college or pro?
Yep.
Really? Tell me when.
I was in college, actually, and we just got off the field on a 3-and-out, and then it was a sudden change, and I'm like, where did I put my helmet? And I was scrambling all over the place, and then kind of last minute finally found my helmet and ran on right before the snap was called.
That's one of those mistakes people make once, football players make once. Noah Sewell, Bears middle linebacker, joining me, Paul Papps, on the Tailgate 670 The Score. When you're up at the line of scrimmage, whether it's Dallas or whatever team you're playing against, you're obviously listening to the quarterback for his cues, for his cadence, for his audibles. But do you ever try to ignore what they say and know that you know what the play is that's coming up?
I mean, I say a little bit of both. Yeah, there's some times where some QBs would do a dummy cadence, and you kind of, the more you play the game, the more you kind of pick it up. And so once I hear the dummy cadence, I'm like, oh, it's a dummy cadence. Don't really pay attention to it. But then right when you watch enough film and start picking up their tendencies and how they actually go through their progressions and their actual snap cadence, it's kind of easy to pick up.
As a middle linebacker, again, have you ever, I'm sure you have, walked up to the line of scrimmage and either by the call or the formation or the setup said, I know exactly what they're going to run here, but you have to hide that you know it?
Yeah.
Now, most definitely. Let's say it's a run right and you're trying not to cheat right.
Well, yeah, there's a couple like situations in the Dallas game. We watched enough film and like I start seeing their tendencies start showing. I'm like, oh, okay, he's over here and they're showing us this. It's gonna be this play, but like at the same time, you gotta like almost anticipate it. And if they do something else, you almost gotta react to it because I'm anticipating this one play and I'm going next minute. It's a whole different play. So yeah.
All right, Noah Sewell, let's talk about a little bit about your family. Everyone knows your brother plays for the Lions. Your other brothers play football. Back in Samoa growing up, how wild was it in the living room? How many things got broken in the living room growing up?
Quite a few. A couple broken shelves, windows, walls.
Yeah. Bunk beds.
Yeah, nah, I wouldn't say beds. I'd say more of the floor. If anything.
And you actually broke the floor at the house.
Not really like broke, but like you can see the indent on the floor. Because
your brother Panay, I got him listed at 335. That's 90 pounds heavier than you. That's a big difference.
That's a big dude. Yep.
Okay. I was looking also about your high school career. You played linebacker. Obviously, you're recruited at linebacker, but you played running back. Don't be humble. How good of a high school running back were you?
I'd say I was decent.
Now, decent means like, you know, 400 yards in your senior year. How many yards did you rush for your senior year?
Can't remember, to be honest.
I got like 1,300. Is that close?
I think you need more than me. Or are you saying for me?
For you, yeah.
I think that's about right.
That's about right. So 1,300. Okay, that begs the question. We know the Bears, there's, you know, some people think that they need more depth at the running back position. If Coach Johnson said, I need three carries Sunday, your answer is what?
Where you want me to run the ball.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yep.
Aren't you a little bit, I know you have to do your job and take care of middle linebacker first. But someday you're waiting for that goal line call, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got one look at it at Oregon when we played Colorado. Had a little fullback dive. It's my one time to shine. Dove into the end zone. That was probably the greatest feeling ever.
Yeah, you should make like a deal. 20 tackles equals a carry. You get 20 on Sunday. The next weekend, you get a carry. All right, who was your favorite linebacker? Who was your favorite running back growing up?
Linebackers, I would. Now there's two. I like Luke Kuechly and Ray Lewis. And those then two. Running backs, LaDainian Tomlinson.
You grew up in Samoa, and I think a lot of people of my generation know about people from Samoa, football players. It was very big. There were lots of players in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. It's not rare for a Samoan athlete to be in the NFL, but how big of a sport is it in your home country growing up?
Well, growing up, it was kind of the only sport that was really popular at the time. I mean, you either had kind of either two choices, enlist in the army or play ball. And chose one option. Thought I was pretty good at that other option. So I just kind of just stuck with football.
All right, you got the Raiders coming up on Sunday. Give me the general scouting report on their offense. They've been up and down this year, but what do you see with them?
Really explosive team. I mean, they do a nice job of trying to confuse the defense with a lot of movers, motions. You know, it's the challenge for us is just make sure that our eyes are in the right spot or looking in the right place, you know, and just kind of stick with our keys.
Brock Bauer is a tight end. He's really an alpha dog tight end in the league. How often do you get switched up on a player like that and say, okay, I've got to keep him in line, got to stick with him full
time? I actually played against Brock my junior year, Oregon versus Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia. And I remember he was one heck of a player. So if I ever get that chance, I know that I'm in for some work.
Noah Sewell, Bears middle linebacker number 44, joining me on the tailgate. A couple things before we get you out of here. When Ben Johnson is upset and Coach Johnson is upset, is it worse if he gives you a talking to or if you just get a look? Which is worse?
I'd say the look is a little worse.
Does it look mean I can't talk to you right now?
If he talks to you like while he's still mad, then it's like not that serious, but at the same time serious. But if he just looks at you, yeah, you know you messed up.
Yeah, he wants you to like run a lap like in the old days. All right, a couple more things. I was preparing for this interview, and my daughter was helping me. She's 14 and being from Samoa. I looked up. I could find no Samoan restaurants in the Chicagoland area. And my daughter goes, well, I'm sure he's fine with Hawaiian restaurants. I think people think they're close together. What's the difference between Samoan food and Hawaiian food for us novices?
I'd say just a few dishes here and there, but it's kind of we all eat the same thing. Well, I mean, in different cultures, in the Polynesian culture, there's certain foods that are more predominant than other cultures.
What's my go-to? What's the thing I have to order if I ever get at a restaurant, Samoan, Hawaiian type food?
Oh, me, I'm a big chicken katsu guy.
What is that?
Chicken katsu? Just fried chicken chopped up with some mac salad on the side with some rice. Can't go wrong with the rice. But yeah, it's just when in doubt, go to the chicken katsu.
I can tell by the look on your face. Now, to keep your weight up, you must eat a lot of chicken katsu.
I had to put down the chicken katsu.
All right, last thing before we let you go. I'm about 6 foot, about 182. You could tell. And I'm not very athletic and I'm middle-aged. Which teammate of yours would be the last guy I'd want to get in a fight with? Taking you off it, you seem like a nice guy. But which teammate should I not get in a fight with?
Grady.
Yeah. Grady seems like he would enjoy pounding me.
Yep.
You said that pretty quick. What's his personality about?
No, it's just... he's very intentional of the things that he does. You know, when we're on the field, he's very intentional about his technique, his fundamentals, and just making sure everybody is out there and just really playing true team football.
Yeah, he could absolutely pound me. Last thing before we let you go, your first time running out of the tunnel in Soldier Field and seeing the 70,000 people, what type of charge is that?
Yeah, it was actually kind of crazy. I did. If you look at the video, I try not to look up at the crowd. I just like try to stay grounded and stay present where my feet were at, because if I did look up, the emotions would probably be too high and I wouldn't probably control myself. So all I know is I heard the roar and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happening.
You're a Chicago Bear. Hey, thanks for joining us. It's great to watch you play. And really, you've been tuning up all season. It's great to have you on the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Great
Thank
guy. You. Noah Sewell, great guy. Really nice player. I think he's coming along. He didn't get a lot of reps last year. Really starting to tune in. I'm making the prediction. I think this kid could be a Pro Bowler in a year. He flies around, comes from a great family. Panay Sewell, all pro lineman for this for the Lions. Really great player. Now, you're listening to The Score, 670 The Score. I'm Paul Pabst. I'm from the South Side of Chicago. Sean, now, one of the reasons I talked to Sewell about how would I do against you. We have this running gag on the Dan Patrick Show that we're at my side job, and I sometimes will block or tackle a professional football player. And it started years ago, and like Tony Siragusa, I tried to block Tony Siragusa, who's 350.
Yeah,
and
it's a large man.
I tried to tackle Adrian Peterson while he was still playing, and I tried to block Luke Kuechly. And it's this running gag experiment because my football career ended in eighth grade, and I kind of peaked.
Sure.
And I went to a school called Marian Catholic, a good football high school, very good football high school, and all my friends play football. And they're always like, you know, they still talk about their glory days and stuff. Like, yeah, I could probably block, Adrian Peterson. I could tackle Adrian Peterson. I'm like, no, these guys are like a different species, man. And so I'm like 6 foot, 185. I'm a normal size man with zero athletic ability and moderate strength. And sometimes I'll go against these guys, and it's fascinating. Lane Johnson, the offensive lineman for the Eagles,
yeah.
I tried to pass rush him. He put two fingers on my chest and pushed me like a child. And I had marks in my chest for like a week and a half. Michael Strahan once knocked me over and knee dropped my ribs. I was done for like a week, but it's a fun running gag. It's a fun experiment. A lot more fun from them than it is for me.
I can imagine. Yeah.
It's also some fun TV. All right. Coming up next, our pub and grub of the week, three and out, the morale meter, and my Bears prediction. That's next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of the Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm gonna come out of that tunnel and I'm gonna run onto this field.
Well, ain't gonna be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsegian know about it?
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on 670 The Score for a few more minutes. Bruce Levine, David Haw coming up a little later. Get you ready for Cubs. Going to the Cubs game a little later today. I'm going to get a couple beers in me, a couple Polish sausages in me. I'm going to get completely sunburned. I'm not wearing sunblock. Sunblock's, you're soft if you're wearing sunblock. Get a nice scalding burn to go into winter.
It doesn't hurt as much when it's in September,
that's
right?
That's fine, yeah. If it's 80 in September, you put away the sunblock, you get a sunburn. Bears in Vegas tomorrow. I was out in Vegas for the Super Bowl. It's a lot different than it was in the old days. Circus Sports and Casino, those guys are going to be there at 11. Spiegel and Holmes today to get you ready for the game tomorrow. Time for our pub and grub of the week. It's where we pick a great place to drink beer, watch football. And I'm going up to Highwood. Never been up there. Up on Sheridan Road, just past Highland Park. Teddy O'Brien's, longtime pub. A lot of people emailed me about this one. Been there 25 years. Live music, beer garden, burgers, cheesesteaks, Italian sausages, and wings. All great foods that are good for you. Make you feel better after you eat them. Trust me, I eat wings all the time and I feel great. Lots of fried stuff, no salads, lots of TVs, draft beer. What else do you need? Teddy O'Brien's in Highwood. Sean, it's time for your time to star, three and out. You give me three football questions. I have no idea what's coming, and we'll get to it now.
Let's see, man. Okay, so first question. We are into week four here. What is the biggest surprise, storyline, something from this NFL season that you're most looking forward to following through the rest of the year? What's that one thing that's caught your eye?
Yeah, that's a good one. I would say Daniel Jones and the Colts. The Colts are a consistent franchise that have been searching for a quarterback since Andrew Luck left. It was a bunch of years ago. I think it was 2019 when Andrew Luck left abruptly. He retired on August 24th. It was 10 days before kickoff.
He was playing the Bears.
Yeah, he was going to play the Bears. And they came off a season where they were 10-6. Andrew Luck seemed like all was well. He was 29. He was entering his prime. They've been searching for a quarterback ever since. Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan and blah, 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 blah. And no one thought Daniel Jones was going to do anything for them. Not many. I shouldn't say nobody, but Daniel Jones went to the Giants, picked a little high out of Duke. Pretty athletic guy, makes a lot of mistakes, but he seems to be hitting a stride. Now, is this story sustainable? I don't know. The other thing about it's interesting about the Colts, their new ownership, their owner, Jim Irsay, passed away. His daughters and other family members taken over. One of his daughters is on the sidelines taking notes during the game. Like, she's an active owner, and it's really interesting to see. She has a headset on to listen to the play calls. She watched a Colts game, and I can't imagine a McCaskey doing that.
No.
But, all right, what's your next one?
So number two here, Bears heading into Las Vegas to face the Raiders, which means Bears fans are traveling to Vegas this weekend. Is there a better NFL road weekend series, like to visit with your buddies, plan a road trip? Is there a better one than Vegas to see your hometown, or is there a more elite place to go see teams?
Back in the day, I would have said I wanted to do a road trip to San Diego for a weekend back when the Chargers were there. That's a great weather all time. But Vegas is bro-fest, man. You can get all the buddies from college back together, all your college friends, couples, and you could do everything in Vegas. There's the biggest, wildest places, and then there's quiet places off the strip, and it goes 24/7. We were doing the Dan Patrick Show there a few years ago, and we had to be on set at 4:30 in the morning. So we had to walk through a casino at 4:30 in the morning to get to our set. People were still rolling from the night before.
Wow.
I saw people on stretchers, no joke, at 4:30 in the morning. I'm walking downstairs all clean, getting ready to do the Dan Patrick Show. All right, what's next?
All right, last one here for you. So last night, Virginia upset number 8 Florida State in a 46-38 double overtime thriller in Charlottesville, Virginia. UVA fans rushed the field almost immediately after the final play. Where do you stand on rushing the field? Have you, Paul Papps, ever rushed the field yourself at a game?
I think I rushed the field for when Marion Catholic beat Peoria Richwoods my senior year in the playoffs. I'm not a field rusher. I kind of chill in the back, but I think if you rush the field, it's got to be occasional. Like, you should
right?
be.
It's got to mean something.
It's
right?
got to be a galactic win. Like, if you're, that's a good win, but I mean, Florida State is not Alabama from 7 years ago. I think the rushing the field thing is, you know, seen on TV and everyone likes to do it and they want to be on, get their moment. And once one group starts it, in college, people play follow the leader. So I like acting like you've been there before and say, like, yeah, we thought we were going to beat them. Let's go to the bars. Is that it?
That was my last question, man. Yeah.
That's it. 3-and-out with Sean. So how's morale with Bears fans right now? This is our morale meter. Last week, it was 3.9. A couple weeks ago with the Lions game, I'm putting it up to a solid 6.1. The Dallas game had everything you want. An unlikable opponent getting waxed at Soldier Field. You know, that was perfect. Big plays on both sides. You know, a couple of interceptions. I will say one thing to be cautious with after the Bears game against Dallas. The Bears aren't going to face the Dallas defense every week. I sure wish they could. That's the kind of defense you schedule for homecoming weekend when everyone's back in town because you want to just rough up someone. The Dallas defense is absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
Trading Michael Parsons was irresponsible by their owner, and their owner is a disaster. I could do an hour on Jerry Jones. You complain as Bears fans about the ownership here. The stadium is awful. I've been there. Everyone's like, oh, this is a great place. It's a horrendous football stadium. People goof on Soldier Field. Go to Dallas' stadium sometime. It's terrible. There's this TV that's way too big, and you can't even watch the game because you're looking at the TV. They have these suites that are recessed lower than the players, so when you look out, all you see is player butts, and you have to pay a top dollar for it. So that's an aside there. I could do an hour on Jerry Jones. Bears morale, 6.1. Great win. Get a win against the Raiders, and you'll be right back in the swing of things. Let's get to it. Bears versus Raiders. Can the Bears stop the running game? Can they stop the passing game? They have a lot of confidence. Can they rush a passer? I think the Raiders are a nice team, but they're finding their way, and the Bears may have found their way a little bit after this week. So I'm going Bears 27-21. That is the tailgate for week 4. I'm going to be at Wrigley all day today getting sunburn. Stop in the back of Murphy's. I'll greet you something. Cody's tomorrow to have some pints to watch football all day, Sean. It's going to be a lovely weekend in Chicago.
You enjoy yourself. Murphy's Iowa State Bar, by the way.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the game tomorrow. So every week, 670 The Score. I'm Paul Pabst. Enjoy your football today. A lot of college football. Enjoy the Bears tomorrow. Get outside. Have some fun. Have a point. This is The Tailgate. 670 The Score. Talk to you next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.